I want to ask for your prayers today, and I want to share with you a scripture reading from the third chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3, if you would like to read along with me, beginning with the sixth verse. Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. It says, "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the likeness of her whoredom, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, The backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord." And I'm going to stop my reading there with verse 13, having read from Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 13, for a scripture reading. And I want to use these words today as a title for the message, Come Back, Come Back. And I want to say this in the beginning, that I am thankful and have been thankful many times in my life for a merciful God. I'm thankful that when I was lost and in my sins, and was on my way to eternal destruction, I'm glad that up in heaven above me, that there was a God that was merciful. And I'm also thankful that in my Christian life, since the time that I have been saved, when I would be outside of the will of the Lord, that there was a merciful God above me and saying to me and wooing by His Spirit, come back, come back. And I think about these scriptures and have thought about these many times when I have read these scriptures, how that Israel had gotten so far away from the Lord. And we can get an idea of what was being said to them in this third chapter by a couple of things that we find recorded in the second chapter of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 11, it has this question, Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. In verse 13, it says, For my people have committed two evils, They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And then in verse 26 and 27 of that second chapter of Jeremiah, it says, as the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Now, I think in seeing and reading those things, that we have a more full idea of what the Lord was speaking to them concerning the things that we read in the third chapter of Jeremiah. He talked about, and what he was talking about here when he was talking about his chosen people having played the harlot and having committed whoredoms and having committed adultery, he was talking about the idolatry that they had been guilty of. He was talking about how that they had turned away from the true and the living God and turned unto things that they called gods, which were not gods at all. They were just things that they had made. They were just idol gods that they had made. And I think about what the Lord said here when he spoke about how that they had done these things, how that Israel had gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree. And you know, we read oftentimes in the scriptures when they would be under the rule of a bad king, and they would be he would be doing things, their king would be doing things and leading them in ways that were bad. You know, we read oftentimes about how that when another king would come, that he would tear down the high places, and he would the new king may destroy some of these things that they had been doing. And so he said that Israel had gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree and had played the harlot. And so we understand how that what Jeremiah said to them about how that they had committed two things that were evil. The first was that they had forsaken their God, and the second was that they had made to themselves idol gods. That's what those cisterns, those broken cisterns that can hold no water, was in reference to. So their sin was having turned from the true God that had chosen them to be his people, and then having turned to idol gods as well. And you know, there sometimes people have the idea that they can, serve God and serve the world, and that just won't work. Jesus said that's an impossibility. He said no man can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate one and he's going to cling to the other. And so they were not able to do that. But in the seventh verse that I read, it says here, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. And, that's where we really see with Israel. I believe the nation of Israel gives us many examples for us to see how merciful and gracious that God really is, because they had done some horrible things unto him. And we find in the 86th Psalm in verse 5, it says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. God is always ready to forgive. Aren't you thankful that God is always ready to reconcile? God is always ready to forgive us of our sins. It goes on and it says that he is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 6 and 7, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And so we are told in the 86th Psalm that God is plenteous in mercy. Well, how much mercy does he have? Well, he has enough for everybody that's in need of his mercy. God has mercy for everybody that needs his mercy. He has that to give to us. And I want you to think with me for a moment what mercy actually is. You know, the Bible speaks about two things. I guess I should say two of the things that the Bible speaks about pertaining to God is that he is a God of grace and that he is a God of mercy. And when the Bible speaks to us of God's mercy, it is telling us that he is a God of loving kindness towards us, that God will manifest his loving kindness towards us. You know, in my lifetime, God has been merciful to me. In my lifetime, God has been long-suffering with me, and God has been patient with me, and he's been that way with all of his children. God extends to us his long-suffering and his patience, and it's a good thing that he does. You know, I'm very thankful today that when the Lord saved my soul, the first thing that I did wrong, the first thing that I did that was against his will, that the Lord did not cut me off. I'm thankful today that we have an eternal salvation. I'm thankful that when God forgives us of our sins and he saves us, that he saves us for eternity, that he gives to us eternal life, and that we are never going to perish. I'm glad today that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's nothing high, there's nothing low, there's no principality, there's no power, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God once that God has shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. There's not anything that can separate us from that. And what a great blessing that is. You know, the Bible teaches us this, and you may, this may seem like a strange statement, but just give me a moment to explain myself. But I believe the Bible teaches us, even though that we know that we can't, even though that we know it's not going to happen, but the Scriptures teach us that once we have been saved, that we're not to sin anymore. Jesus, when that in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, when they brought that woman before him, the Pharisees brought that woman before him and said to him, "Master, we have taken this woman in the very act of adultery." And they said, "According to the law of Moses, she ought to be stoned to death." And the Lord said to them, "Well, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And the Bible says that they, being convicted by their own conscience, they went away, and she was left alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And he said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Don't do this anymore. Don't be guilty. Don't go right back to doing what I have forgiven you for. And in the first chapter of John, we read in the first chapter of 1 John, how that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sin, that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive of us our sin. What does that mean? That He's merciful to us. If we confess our sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But then in the first verse of that second chapter, John the Apostle went on and said, I write these things unto you that ye sin not. Now, you know, we know as God's people that because of the flesh, because of the nature of Adam that we still possess, that we're going to be guilty of sin until we get rid of this nature, aren't we? We know that we have faults and we have failures and we will have sin until we get rid of this Adamic nature that we have. But because of that, and because of the knowledge of that that we have, we are not to ever use that as a license to sin. God doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to get away from Him. He doesn't want us to stray from Him and from the teachings of His Word. But I'm thankful that, you know, when that happens, that God is merciful to us. We look at Israel, and, you know, we are told in the Scriptures that the things that they did and the way that God dealt with them and the punishment that they received for the things that they did, we're told in the Scriptures that these things are to be an example unto us, that we would not follow after the same lust. And we see in reading about them often times in the Old Testament, we read about how that they were prone as a nation to turn away from the Lord. You know, there may be those, and I don't know how everybody feels about this. There may be those that feel like that right here in this nation, that we have just strayed too far. But I'm going to tell you something. God is merciful. God is a merciful God. God is willing to show forgiveness. God is willing to forgive even a nation that turns away from Him. And when we think about that, about how that all the things that Israel had been guilty of, yet the Lord, with His love and His mercy and His kindness towards them, says, turn unto me. Turn thou unto me. And as the Scriptures teach us, that when a person or a group of people, a nation, as far as that goes, turns to the Lord, that God is willing to have mercy. God showed me mercy the night that He saved my soul. He showed me mercy. He showed me grace. I wasn't deserving of that. Nobody is deserving of that. But God bestowed His mercy upon us. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to Titus, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, he said that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God is merciful to His children. God is long-suffering to His children. God is patient and kind and loving to us. And it's a good thing that He is, because we just don't often stay where we ought to be, do we? Now, you know, we may not be guilty in the world today, and even in the Lord's church today, we may not be guilty of the same things that Israel was guilty of, but I believe that in theory, often that we are. You know, we may not have actually, and I've said this before, we may not have actually taken wood and carved out an idol and bowed our knees to that thing and worshiped that thing. But I'll tell you what, there are many things in the world that we allow to distract us, and we put too much emphasis on, and we allow many things in life to cause us to stray away from the Lord, that cause us not to be as close to Him as we ought to be, that cause us to not have the communion with the Lord that we ought to have. Can we not all say today that that's the truth? Can we not all reflect upon times in our life where we became involved in things that led us away from where we really ought to be with God? Have we not all seen many times in our life that we were just not in tune with the Lord the way that we should be? We were just not close to the Lord the way that we should be. God has a way of shaking us and reminding us of that from time to time. But all the while, when those things happen, there is a merciful God above us. And He's saying, come back. Come back. Return unto Me, and I'll have mercy upon you. During the years of the Babylonian captivity, Israel got perhaps as far away from the Lord as they ever had. And the reason I say that is because we read about what God showed them through the prophet Ezekiel, recorded in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, when the Lord showed him a valley of dry bones. And they were just completely dried up. And the Bible tells us that they represented the house of Israel. And they had become, the nation of Israel had become pretty much useless to the Lord. And doesn't the nation that we live in get more and more like that all the time? A nation that God has blessed. I really believe that. I believe that God blessed the gospel in this nation. I do. And yet we have become, it seems, so indifferent as a nation of people. But, we don't always do this. There's a verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that was up on my mind. And Paul there exhorted the saints at Colossae to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We don't always do that. We don't always do what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said to them that they were to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We don't always do what was written to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, when we are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We don't always follow the instructions of God's Word, but He wants us to. He expects us to, but we don't always do it. And then God, in His mercy, in His loving kindness, I'll tell you what, God is, again, He is long-suffering, and He is patient with us. If He wasn't, He would cut us off, wouldn't He? if God didn't exercise mercy towards us, if God was not long-suffering towards us and patient towards us, he would look at us and he would say, you're not pleasing me. God is more long-suffering and patient with us than we certainly are with one another. And I guess that's just right because he's God. He's God. I'm glad his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. Turn to me. You know, listen, I want to say this. If you're here today and you've never known the peace of God, if you're here today and you've never had an experience with the Lord, if you're here and you're lost in sin, you've never turned to God, you've never repented before Him, the Lord is saying what we find, the invitation that we find given through the prophet Isaiah, when the Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. If you're here today and you're lost and on your road to eternal destruction, there is a merciful God in heaven that is saying, come to me, come to me. I sent my Son to die for you. I sent my Son to this world to suffer and to make a way for you to be saved. And come to me, and you can have eternal life. And for those of us that are saved, if we are here today and we have drifted away from the Lord and we know in our hearts that we're not really where God would have us to be, then the Lord is saying, you can come back. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't like to talk about it, but there was a time in my life, and I'm talking about after that I was saved, there was a time in my life that I'm thankful that God was merciful. I'm thankful that God was saying, son, come back. Come back to me. Because you've gotten out here and you drifted away and you've gotten into stuff that you have no business being into. Come back. Come back. I'm glad that God does that. I'm glad that he doesn't write us off. You know, the Lord gave Israel opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent. To repent. And you know what the scriptures told us here in the third chapter of Jeremiah, when the Lord said, turn thou unto me, it says they didn't. They didn't. And every time that that was the case, then they suffered greatly. They suffered greatly. I believe in the chastening hand of God. Not just because the Bible tells me about it, but because I've felt it. I've experienced it. The Bible tells us that we're not to despise that. God uses that because he loves us and because he's merciful to us, and he uses that to correct us. God uses his chastening hand to correct his children in the same way that a human parent uses chastisement to correct their own children. And so I'm thankful today that God loves us. And I'm thankful that he's merciful to us and long-suffering towards us. And that he has promised us in his word that, you know, when we get away from him and we turn back to him, that he's there with open arms. Open arms. You know, that's what a loving parent does, isn't it? And I mean, you know, we see that oftentimes in human families. You know, our own children can stray away completely from the things that we teach them. You know, we can teach them what's right, and they can stray away completely from what their parents have tried to teach them. But all the while, there's mom and dad there still loving them and praying for them. And just like it was with the prodigal son, desiring their return. And when they come back, it's a happy time, isn't it? And I'm sure that it is for the Lord. You know, when we return to Him, that He's grateful. And it's a happy time to Him that we have come back to Him and desired a closer walk with the Lord. I've had to do that. Maybe you haven't, but I have. And I thank God for His mercy and for His grace. I'm thankful, you know, you may not, you may have never given much thought to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 7. But I'm thankful for this verse where it says, "And I said, after she had done all these things, after she had been guilty of all these things, I said, turn thou unto me. Turn thou unto me." You know, we know that when we were lost, that we had to repent of our sins in order to be saved. But you know, repentance is not just for the lost. Repentance is for the saved as well. You know, when we sin, when we do things against the Lord, then we have to repent too, don't we? And we are commanded that in the Scriptures. That's my thoughts today. I believe that though things may look dismal here in our nation, and I know there's much concern being expressed, but I believe that there's hope. I believe when things are not right in a church, there's hope. I believe when things are not right in your individual life, there's hope. There's hope because God is merciful. God is merciful. And, you know, one of the things that we are told in these verses, in the 13th verse here concerning Israel, was that it says only, all that was required, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Repent, and trust in the Lord. Brother Ernie, you have a song.